Dear Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the way you use it to speak to us, Lord. We pray that we'd have ears to listen to your word this morning, Lord. Amen. I was trying to find Parker's Avenue the other day in Dolby, and I wasn't quite sure where it was, so I typed it into Google Maps, and it came straight up. But it always brings the map up really zoomed in on the address, which is actually really unhelpful. I'm not sure if you've had this problem before, but when it's zoomed too far in, it's hard to work out where you actually are on the map. I've lived in Dolby my whole life, and I'd like to think I know my way around pretty well, but it still took me a while to get my bearings and work out where Parker's Avenue actually is. To start with, I actually needed to zoom out a little bit. Once I could see the bigger picture of Dolby and go, oh, there's the racecourse, the creek, the aerodrome, I could start to work out, right, if I start zooming back in, oh, I can go down Blackstone Road, into Platts Avenue, into Parker's Avenue. Once I saw the big picture, the little picture made sense. And this is a little bit like what we're going to do today as we have a look at the little story of Daniel and the lion's den. We're going to start by zooming out and getting a big picture, or more the big story of the Bible, and get a feel for where we are. And then we'll start zooming back in on the little story of Daniel and the lion's den. We're going to start big and work out where we are, and then zoom in and unpack the little story. So where in the Bible are we? In the big story, we've been following God's chosen nation, Israel, a nation that God set apart as his very own. But there's a big problem in the world, the problem of sin. And Israel is continually turning their back on God. They're in constant need of rescuing. God is gracious to them, and even though they keep turning their back on him, he continues to rescue and save them. As far as the timeline goes, the book of Daniel, it fits in at the end of 2 Kings. God's chosen nation, Israel, are split in two, the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. The book of Daniel comes at a sad time for God's people. They again have sinned and turned away from God to worship their own made-up gods. And as a result, God delivers them into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's the Babylonian king, and he invades Judah and takes a large number of them off to exile in Babylon. They took anything valuable and destroyed the city and with it the temple of God. Only the poorest were left behind. Among those taken off into exile was a boy named Daniel. And so the book of Daniel follows his life as he grows up in a foreign kingdom under the rule of a foreign king. Daniel was forced to learn and fit into Babylonian culture, and he was trained to be a part of the king's top servants. No doubt this would have been hard for Daniel, as he'd been taken from his homeland and forced to serve the very kings that had destroyed their city and temple. I think it would have been easy for Daniel to feel at times as though God had lost control of the situation and that human kings were directing the course of world events. But as we're going to see in Daniel 6 today, the God that had rescued and saved his people in the past was still with them and still saving them now. Through the book of Daniel, God shows Daniel himself, all of God's people, and even the foreign kings, that he is the only God that can truly rescue and save. So let's zoom in on this little story in Daniel 6 and see what happens to Daniel and also what it shows us about God. I'm not the best storyteller, so I've brought along the Jesus Storybook Bible to help me out this morning. It does a great job of telling the story, so you follow along. As Josh said, it titles it Daniel and the Scary Sleepover. Things weren't looking good for God's people. They had been captured and taken far from home, and now they were slaves to the king of Babylon. But God had not left his people. He was with them and he was looking after them. Daniel loved God and obeyed him. Now God made Daniel able to understand lots of different things. So it wasn't long before the king of Babylon noticed him. King Darius liked how clever Daniel was, so he made him his most important helper of all and put him in charge of lots of other helpers. But the other helpers didn't like this. They wanted the king to like them best. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. I can imagine this is a bit like when someone gets a promotion or even just gets given the good job for the day. Everyone else is just a bit dirty at them, really. They wanted that job. But the story continues. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. So they spied on Daniel. They tried to find things wrong with Daniel, things they could tell the king about, but they weren't any, none. They couldn't find anything at all, except there was just one thing. Every day, three times a day, without fail, Daniel went to his room and prayed. They smiled to themselves. Let's get the king to make a new law. No one is allowed to pray to anyone except the king. Daniel won't obey this law and he will be punished. They were pleased with themselves for how clever they were and hurried off to tell the king. The king liked their idea. He didn't know they were tricking him. So he made it into a law. Everyone must pray only to me. And if they don't, the lions will have them for dinner. Daniel heard this and he knew it was wrong to pray to anyone except God. He had to do what God said, whatever it cost him, even if it meant he would die. So Daniel went to his room and he prayed to God. That's just what the bad men knew Daniel would do. So they skipped straight off to tell the king. The king was sad. He had been tricked. He didn't want to hurt Daniel, but he couldn't change his law. So the soldiers threw Daniel to the lions. This is the part of the story that a lot of you probably know quite well. Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. Has anyone here seen a lion in real life before? Kids, have you been to a zoo? Or have some people been lucky enough to see them in the wild in Africa? I went to a zoo for the first time a few months ago and saw some lions, and they are an impressive animal. I didn't find them too scary, though, from outside the enclosure. There is no way I would have wanted to get in there for even a minute, let alone spend a whole night in there. It would be terrifying. Can you imagine in the pitch black lion's den, just hearing the lions move around, that deep growl they make, just waiting for one to come and get you? But that's not where the story ends, is it? At the first glimmer of sunlight, the king ran straight to the lion's den and called out to Daniel. And amazingly, Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." God rescued Daniel from the mouths of the lions. And the king was amazed at how Daniel's God was with him, even in the lion's den. King Darius makes a new law in verses 26. If we jump back to the NIV Bible, or if you've got one with you, he says in verse 26, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. At the end of the story here, we see Daniel is saved from the lions. But what's even more amazing is that the king sees what God is really like, and it changes him. When God shows people what he's like, they are changed. Darius's reaction to seeing God was amazing. He sends a message out not only just across his kingdom, but to everyone he could, giving praise to him. Darius is surprised and amazed when he sees what God is like. But I think for a lot of us here, we're not that surprised because we know that bigger story of the Bible that we were talking about at the beginning. There's always been this pattern of God rescuing and saving his people. If we stop at the end of the little story here and zoom back out on that big story of the Bible, we can see that the Bible is always heading towards the ultimate rescuer and saviour, Jesus. When you think of a great rescuer, who do you think of? Maybe you think of a fireman, a paramedic, a doctor. Or maybe if you were in trouble, you'd be hoping Iron Man or Batman would be coming to save you. But whoever you think of, I'm guessing no one thinks of a man hanging on a cross as a great rescuer. We might not be trapped in a lion's den like Daniel, but we are trapped by sin. And the only way out is by someone coming and rescuing us. And by dying on the cross, Jesus took the punishment of our sins and he rescued us. If you're someone that's new to church here this morning or new to Jesus, you might be looking at the Bible thinking, it's a pretty thick book and you're not quite sure how it all fits together, and that's fair enough. But can I let you know, the good news of the Bible is always pointing towards God in Jesus, rescuing and saving us from our sins, even though we don't deserve it. Jesus takes our sin on him so that we can be saved. We would love to show you how you need rescuing and saving. We would love to sit down and tell you our story and help show you Jesus, how he can change your life. It seems a bit strange to tell you that you need rescuing and saving, but actually that's what our story is too. For us here who do know Jesus, our story is that we've been rescued and saved by him. And like Darius, this should cause us to give great praise to God. What is your story? How did Jesus rescue and save you? For some of us here, it involves being rescued from drug or alcohol problems, from porn addictions to anger problems to gambling addictions. For some of us, our stories might not have that big life-changing moment, but it's still incredible to be rescued. Because even if we lived more respectable, sinful lives, full of greed and selfishness and jealousy and gossip and bad language, we needed rescuing and saving. We had our back turned to Jesus, and he's grabbed us and turned us completely around. It's amazing how when we see who Jesus is and what he's done for us, it can change our lives. When we are rescued from our sin, it should cause us to give great praise to God. And actually, we're not quite at the end of the talk yet, but why don't we take a moment to pray to God? and thank him for rescuing and saving us. Would you join me in prayer for a moment? Dear Lord, you are the living God. You endure forever. Your kingdom will never be destroyed. You will always be king. Lord, you rescue and you save us. You perform signs and wonders in the heavens and here on earth. You rescued Daniel, Lord, and you have rescued us. Thank you. Amen. It's amazing how King Darius, at the end of the story, sends a message out praising God, not only to his kingdom, but to everyone he could. It says in verse 25, "Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and all the people of every language in all the earth." When you have something exciting, you want to tell people about it. This was me recently when I bought a new mower. Well, it wasn't a new mower, it was a new old mower. And it might be hard for some of you to imagine, but I was really excited about this. And I wanted to tell everyone about it. The fact that Jesus rescues and saves us is exciting news that we should tell everyone about, just like King Darius did. Wouldn't it be great if more people came to see Jesus and be rescued and saved by him? I just want to finish off now with two things that we can do to be sharing this exciting news of Jesus. Firstly, I think it's really important that we pray. We pray that this would happen for other people. We pray for our neighbour, our workmate, a friend at school, a brother or sister, our mum or dad, the people in our lives that don't know Jesus. Pray that they will come to be rescued and saved by him. And secondly, we want to actually be talking about the gospel. In this story of Daniel in the lion's den, King Darius is changed when he sees for himself God rescue and save Daniel. At the start of the story, King Darius likes Daniel, but he doesn't like his God. He's more than happy for people to pray to him instead of anyone else. He felt he was the most important and in control. But when he sees God rescue Daniel, he realizes that there is someone far greater than himself. It wasn't Daniel's exceptional character that made him see God. It was when he saw God rescue and save. That's what convinced him. This is what we want to be doing with people that don't know Jesus. We want to be saying to them, look at Jesus. How amazing is he? Look at what he's done for us. Look how he rescues and he saves. When people see this for themselves, that's what will change them. The big story of the Bible always points towards Jesus and how he rescues and saves. We need to be continually reminding ourselves of this, and we want to be pointing other people to that as well, so that they can be saved too. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you're a God that rescues and saves. Lord, help us to be bold in trying to share that with others and trying to point them to Jesus so that they too can realize just what he's done for them, Lord. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen.